So I think we're going to have, the next one up is my attempt to summarize Jeff Reiberg Cox's work with Incunabula. And his one of the first papers that actually got submitted. So basically, to contextualize, you have the grand challenge, I think, one of the grand challenges that we face is converting the analog heritage that we had at our disposal into a machine-actionable, usable digital form. Obviously, dealing with objects is probably the most complex issue. But if you're thinking of written materials, there's a continuum from handwriting on the one end, various types, to modern English print on the other. So modern English writing, it's very easy. With no formatting, you can do a good job of, but you know, something like the Venetus is a little trickier. All those Arabic manuscripts that have ever been printed are going to be an interesting challenge for the next generation. In the middle, though, stands a really very important category of document, or set of documents, which are the early books. Now, categories of data entry problem or data conversion problem for early modern early books change over time. If you've done some of the work that we have, there's what I think of as the long S line. So the long S looks like an F. And it's, if you have text with long S's in them and standard OCR, you have to figure out whether left is left or less. And you have to do some calculation, and you can clean up the errors using language modeling and so on pretty well. But it is kind of a major factor of noise to deal with. And that's really the beginning of the point where your standard print is hard, becomes untrackable. Now, as you move backwards in time, the text gets more and more complex. And Jeff worked on a project funded by the NEH looking at the hairiest of all printed books, which are incunabulas, or incunabula, which an incunabula are the first generation of printed books. And they represent an interesting category for us, because we are incunabula, or producers and consumers of incunabula right now, in the sense that we are dealing with the first generation of visual objects. Now, the classic incunabulum of the 21st century is a PDF document, because a PDF document is effective because it mimics print and adds marginal features of the digital world, at least two features being searchability and portability. You can transport and store digitally. But in effect, it's attractive because it mimics the format of paper. And that's why it's successful because it's stupid, because it's not really digital. Similarly, you have a dialogue going back and forth between, and some of you here probably know this better than me, so please don't embarrass me when I'm speaking. And tell me later why I'm wrong. But you had a dialogue between manuscripts and print in the first generation printed books, with books trying to look like manuscripts and then manuscripts trying to look like books. And you have features like various complicated features about the way books are printed, all of which get resolved, many of which get resolved after some time, when people figure out, when they asymptote towards or converge towards different conventions. But there are features, other than starting with weird fonts, they don't look like the fonts for which OCR is trained. But they include things like brevigraphs, so abbreviations. In theory, you save space. But Q could be N different things. You don't know what it is. So there'll be abbreviations which are contextual and hard to figure out. You all have, the print is such that the word division may be unclear. So you have there's no clear spacing. So words are run together, or words look like they're broken. We also, when we were doing our work on this initially discovered, you could often put that tell E from C, that in fact the compositor would take the same damn character and it ran out of E's. And use a C. So you really don't know whether that's cum or ale. If you have context. Now again, you can probably figure it out because it's cum and ale are such disjunct concepts. there's a lot of noise in there. And so it's impossible at the moment to manage to get a lot of useful data, like any useful data, out of these books using off-the-shelf OCR as far as we can tell. So Jeff looked at the problem of how you can reduce the cost of processing these materials and try to figure out what tools were available to deal with the range of specific problems in getting ourselves some kind of useful functionality out of these documents. And so his was a cost-benefit analysis that sets the parameters that defines the problems that we face and describes, you know, what is possible today and points the way towards problems we'd like to solve automatically as we have a new generation of OCR and we have better methods of automatic error correction. And yeah, what were your? I didn't write down your figures. What are your figures?
If you hand edit a page of the book printed before 1550 or so, it's about $30 to $40 a page. If you assume you're paying overhead, if you're in a budget that goes to the NIH, that has to pay overhead. So $30 to $40 a page, and if you can do it automatically, you can get it to 6 to 8. And just as a point of comparison,
not the same area, but so the same sort of cost per correct character.
So
if you do it automatically, there's going to be some error.
There are going, and that's actually one of the things that I've got there.
I mean, if you do it by hand, there's going to be some error.
There should be some error.
So you sort of adjust the price by.
No, that's the character. For what I feel like is roughly the same number of characters. But what I don't have, and what I'm trying to work on now, is what is the evaluation metric you use to go through and say, this is usable? What constitutes for me a usable text?
Depends on your application.
And just as a benchmark, or as like Open Archive Group and Google Books, they're getting 10 cents a page to get what they consider their version of a usable book.
That's pure page imaging, and the OCR is free.
No hand processing at all. And you'll never get to 10 cents a page with the computer because you can't, the photography imaging costs too much. You can't mass produce the images because you can't push the books.
Google has some books where they can tell the spines up and some of them they can't.
But yeah, because the conservatives are very happy to use it. You know, I can do this a lot easier if you let me just cut some part.
Have you looked at the OCA workflow and the kinds of cradles they use?
And you could even spend more money than I got on all the various cradles. And what we've actually got to is, by the time you take the time to set and reset the cradle, you're doing more to the page on a rare book. And so your potential for damage is higher. So we have gloves and we just have the furrow weights. You have certain kind of standard things you look at having any rare book room. And it's quicker. And so you can be more cost efficient by doing fingers. But we accept fingers in our images. I mean, if I have to have a finger or a string of pearls down the side, I'll take one. But that's because, you know, you can add easily 5 or 10 minutes to arrange it on some of those cradles if you're paying by the hour, paying by the minute. And so that adds cost. If you're using a cradle, you can get 4 or 5 pages an hour, and we can do one about every 2 minutes. If you can, you know, to line it up to get it flat, to fold it out and put, we can do one about, so we can do about 30 pages an hour. I don't know if you know our workflow. But yeah, the there are lots of cradles that are out there that, if you can be harsher to the books, so if you don't have to be quite so careful, you can vacuum the book up against the plate.
So what do you think, Jeff? What are some of those promising techniques or problems that they're to address automatically?
Well, I think that the biggest problem, when this goes back to usable text, is the reason that I love Perseus, I've always loved Perseus before, back, I don't know if anyone knows this, but there was a time in my life where I went to a campus meeting in Boulder because Greg was going to be there. And I had no idea who Greg was. Greg had no idea who I was. And I went so I could hear this man talk. But the reason I loved this was because of the hypertext, the morphological linking. But that is one of the fundamental added values in my mind out of the system, out of the work that Greg is at, and everyone else at Perseus. and how to get that cheaply. But right now, you've got to get that with good text. You get that with good text and clean text.
Carry on.
So how to get to cheap text that's good enough to get good morphology out. You know, you can do image front. You can do dirty data image front and search it and display the text like Google does. And get pretty good, you can get pretty good search results. I mean, you can do good search metrics. You can do evaluation metrics, and they're okay. They're not perfect, but they're okay. But you can't get good morphology out of it. And you can't click on the word. If you just have the page image, you can't click on the word. And so those are the things that I would like to see, because then right now, if you just have the page image being tunable, then you're sort of in a world where people don't have the tools to be read. And a lot of these books are read by people like historians of science who may need to know 100 languages, depending on what they're working on. And so those language tools are really important. So that's what I see as the biggest challenge, is getting somehow that into a cost effective way. Because if that takes a cleaner text, then we can get some. I'd love to do image maps, like have a clear map in image maps. I see when you click on the image, you've got to clean enough data underneath it. I looked into doing it with manual data entry, having line coordinates, baseline coordinates, and word break coordinates entered. But you add as many characters to your data entry process as you do hours to clean the text, so that it's a wash. You've got to be doing image zone. You have to have a way. And then, sorry, the image zone, because the words run together, then you have all the same problems you have with those texts in the first place. You can't really tell where the words break apart.
What are some of the interesting aspects of Incunabula per se, other than the fact that just happens to be the books?
They're really hard.
Although a lot of what's interesting in Incunabula as Incunabula are just the formatting. The layout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right,
and then I guess there's some people who study, you know, different compositors and different printers and bibliography.
Sure. And rubrication and all the things that people do. Did it as the book took shape, the way where you would be expected that reader would be expected to put in their own red marks to mark chapter book to put in the div structure of how and when they would buy the book and then put in their own div structures around it. But it comes out of the time you came back from Berlin and we agreed to do some texts for Jurgen and we started doing them. And I had this moment of realizing that I had no idea how we would do these. We thought they were like everything else.
Well, for one thing, there were printouts of microfilm.
Well, no, there are all sorts of other problems with that. But when it's easy to say, oh, we know how to do these books. That Google Books is an implementation that bastardization is more or less a solved problem. We've got a million books now, what we do with them. And that underneath that, there are vast quantities of texts that are not a solved problem. And that's really what I'm as interested in as anything. I mean, I've got my own pet project that I'd love to work on. Specifically focus on online business tool, just because that's one of the primary ways we got the classical tradition. The transmission step that gave us so many effects that we have. Since there's some depth of content difference, but just as a class, just the difficulty of the entire class is what's interesting to me. So people and this actually what I gave a talk to Colin Zoo, and it sort of disturbing to people because I was there talking about basically late medieval books to groups of medievalists, and I didn't really care what they were about. there are times that I definitely care what they're about, but sometimes I just care that they're hard. I don't know how to put this into that, put this into a digital form.
So, Mark, what about, does this resonate with you with work with Artful or French incunables?
Yeah, I mean, I would put the keyboard and keep it simple and stupid. On the error rates, everyone wants a perfect text, no one's willing to pay for it. And so what you do is you do the best you can. Now, what we're finding, for most tasks, I think this is probably true for morphology, errors don't matter that much. They get filtered out. They're random. If they're a pattern, then you can detect them and fix them. And so it's basically the same thing. The only question I have is, what is the universe population? Keep asking this question here. What is the universe population of the cuticles in terms of actual individual identifiable Ferber meta objects? My guess is that we're probably talking 20,000 all up, French, English, German, Italian.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's not going to be a big number. There's not that many of them.
No, but
Now,
1485 to 1500 is something of a stand-in for. It doesn't get. It's not like at 1500 it gets easy.
Yeah.
So that you really, if you're talking about the world, of really, you know, really, you've got to push out to 1550 or later. And so it is a much broader world. But like, I don't know how many.
It seems to be one of the metrics. And the other thing is that you have so many of these, it obviously gets reprinted again and again and again in later editions. And so the sweet spot that I would be looking for would be those texts which we do not have a modern edition.
Right.
Which is most of them from that period. There's some of them, but particularly the later stuff, if you take good that we're working on. These things get churned out. It's popular literature, and a lot of this stuff goes right back into the late medieval, you know, modern period.
Right.
So my guess is that you'll find better texts, right, in pure typography, just by looking a little bit later.
Right.
You know, because they also had tiny press runs. We're talking 1,200 copies a shot here. I mean, they have a huge rarity value.
But when you're talking about the small press runs, a lot of variant, there's almost like in lots of ways, like the individual.
Oh yeah, sure. But unless you're going into the physical bibliography of print,
right? Of those variants.
Yeah. And that holds true through the 18th century. I mean, you know, the first edition of the LCXVD, there's all kinds of versions, right. And you know, blah blah blah.
And that actually poses another issue, one that I don't really even pretend to resolve, which is what is it that you're trying to represent? Are you trying to get to a better text, make a critical edition? What's printed on the page in the particular book that you happen to get your hands on to image?
Well, personally, I'll take what's printed on the page on the version that we can get on.
I don't think we're
going to go back to critical edition. I think critical edition is absolutely a dead thing intellectually. We're not going to award PhDs to do critical editions,
right,
in any great scale. I think this is in the class, certainly in the American Canadian academics right now, don't get a feature of the critical edition. So my best guess is maybe a couple of copies of something.
Not everybody agrees.
And then diff them.
You got an NEH grant.
There's a difference between NEH fund stuff that you would get a PhD for. I mean, NEH fund stuff that you would get a PhD for. We have a student who declares herself the last of the text editors in Chicago. She's studying under a great text editor, and she is the last student after which is in will retire. She's been at 15 years. And so, you know, there's certain application classes, but certainly in English and French in America. Do not try and say you're going to edit a text and get serious academic credit for it at this point. 50 years ago,
I think in Germany you can get a valid PhD with Dieter Hoffinger on, you know, editing a text. Nobody thinks, A, that a graduate student is qualified to do that kind of work, B, that it gets you anywhere for a career. You know, that's just pure suicide. Even in classics, I think. If you do this as a 22-year-old, it's crazy.
I will go back to multiple copies and diffs, and there's lots of ways to do your variants between files. There's a million ways to do it, and then you do Ferber thing. You say, well, here's my meta super thing, and I have these many instances. No problem with that.
Right. No, it's not a catalog. It's not a problem.
Clearly, the kinds of techniques Jeff is talking about aren't going to be used for producing critical. Well, aren't going to be the final word in critical editions, because if you were producing a critical edition, you'd read the whole thing.
Yeah,
right. You want to do the $40.
A good example is look at Evo. Evo, TCP, the early stuff, that's pretty good.
I mean, they're pretty good, but they stop at 50-50 line, more or less.
Right, more or less. I think there's some earlier stuff.
They cream the early books and not the hard ones out.
Oh yeah. But even there, the gap rate on the early stuff is only 2 or 3%. Gap being something that their keyboard operators in the input figure out.
Right. Right.
And some of those tests, when you look at the imaging that was coming off the film, it's indecipherable. I read English, and I can't figure out what this is.
I did want to throw in one other thing. Maybe the answer to something Neil was asking earlier, like, how does this change the center of gravity, or how does it change the way we think of them? And Neil said that that there's no one young here. Dave and I are both thinking, when did we become part of the older generation?
But 10 years ago.
It was 20 years ago. I was a graduate student at the University of Chicago. And I walked into a room, not knowing where I could get a job, with Ross, David, Brad, I don't remember who else was in the group. I think you interviewed me that day. And I got tenure for doing basically this work. That's a substantial shift. For years, saying 10 years ago when Ross started doing this, it was hard road to hoe. And because of that road being hoed for me, I was able to do this sort of work and get tenure. And so that is, I think, a fundamental. And that does represent at least one piece of a fundamental change.
I think the other thing, and in this place, I think Greg and I would disagree completely, I think we're having a massive impact on the discipline. They don't want to do it. But boy, they do love the tools. My biggest problem, I have to beat them back with a stick, keep them out of my lap, because there's a constant pressure for me to do yet another project. And so why isn't the demand curve there? Because people read about it. So I can track down a dissertation, got a red dissertation. Could not have been done without ARFA. And there are going to be a million things. Could not have been done without Perseus, could not have been done without the TLG, could not have been done without Evo or the Chatted Feeling things. In other words, it's having a massive impact. It's just not the kind of impact that everyone thought, which is what you're going to get a whole lot of people doing this stuff. Now, think quantitative social history. We were talking with quantitative social historians. The revolution happened, and it had a huge impact on the disciplines. Very few people became quantitative social historians, and everyone bemoaned this fact. So the idea that this small group is going to push this forward doesn't mean you don't have a huge audience, and they don't use it in respect.
Because if you use it in respect, it don't always coincide.
I
think Jeff's experience is still exceptional. How many people do get real credit for that kind of work, and how many people would love to have a service industry doing what you're doing for them without really having to evaluate it or in any way give you credit for it?
And I do think the caveat on the way I did it is I publish like a maniac. I have lots of fetish objects about the electronic work that form the basis of the portfolio. But it's about electronic stuff, and the electronic stuff itself didn't go in. It was there when I wrote about it.
That's profoundly backwards, and I think in the long term a real threat to probably all of this kind of work.
Any other more comments?
Can I just comment on what we just been talking about? Because I think it's really important to note that with these changes, nobody heralds, no trumpets blare, no excitement attends these kinds of shifts. That they're always recognized, almost begrudgingly in the past tense. So I mean, when email has become the mode of academic communication. But we can all remember when there were people who sort of poo-pooed it and said, this is a big pain, and I'm going to have to get email. And those people didn't come to the people they argued with and said, you were right! This is amazing! I can't believe it! And the same thing with students using Perseus and so on. It's become part of the lifeblood, and you don't get any credit. And if you're looking for credit as a measure of success, That's not, but what you do get is just currents, just people sort of thinking it's part of the air they breathe. And there is good evidence of that. I mean, the way students breathe is different from the way students retreat.
Yeah, but if you suffocate the people who do it, then you're still losing in the long run.
Sorry.
If you suffocate the people who are generating the oxygen, you're.
Yeah.
Turn off the servers for a little while and watch your email fill up. My God, my machines go down for more than 4 minutes, right? My emails are so low. Oh my God, I can't get any or whatever the thing is. And so part of it is it is a little bit like electricity now. It's sort of just assumed it's going to be there. And when it goes away, everyone gets a little bit perturbed.